الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الناس إنا خلقناكم من ذكر وأنثى وجعلناكم شعوبا وقبائل لتعارفوا إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم إن الله عليم خبير. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, one of the problems that has plagued humanity throughout history has been the problem and argument which is based on the principle of social classification. Human beings have always grappled with this issue, that on what concrete basis do we base social classification and merit? This argument as to who is better and on what basis is one person better than the other is an argument and is a dispute and a problem amongst humanity which is as old as mankind. In fact, even before human beings set his foot on Mother Earth, this problem came into being. You would recall, and as the Quran reminds us, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after creating him, ordered the malaika, including Iblis, to make sijda before Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. The Quran says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِعَادَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ. And remember the time when we ordered the malaika to make sijda before Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. The malaika, as is their habit, as the Quran says in the 28th part of the Holy Quran, لا يعصون الله ما عمرهم. They are never disobedient to the commands of Allah. ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. And they carry out the instructions and the commands of Allah Ta'ala to 15 total. They carried out the commands of Allah. But Shaitan and Iblis refused, saying, Ana khayrun min, I am better than Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Khalaqtani min nari wa khalaqtahu min teen. I have been created from fire, and he has only been created from sand. So Shaitan used substance and the matter from which he was created as a basis of claiming superiority over Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Some people have used financial standing to determine the superiority or otherwise of a person. We find in Surah Kahf, in a whole ruku, Allah has given a parable of two people in which one person tells the other person, Ana aktharu minka mala wa azzu nafara. I have more wealth than you. Therefore, I have more prestige and respect than you. Then the Quran further goes on to make mention that he used this, that because he has more wealth in this world, he said, similarly, I will also be prosperous in the year after. He was, as many people today are under this false impression, that a person who has wealth will also have prosperity in the year after. A thing and a notion which the Quran goes on in that very same ruku and in many other places to go and show the wrongness of such a notion and of such a belief and on such a ideology. Then some people have used lineage and ancestry to claim superiority over others. I come from noble stock. I am from royal blood. You are from slave ancestry. I am Sayyid. You are non-Sayyid. I am Sayyid. You are non-Sayyid. I am Hyderabadi, you are Gujarati. I come from Bharuch Jilla, you come from Surat Jilla. Therefore, I am better than you and you are inferior to me. This also we find many times happening. Although Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said, "Ansabukum hadhihi laysat bimasabbatin ala ahadin." Allah has not created this lineage and ancestries for you to look down upon another person and for you to regard another person as inferior. Perhaps the most shameful of all these tendencies has been this tendency to differentiate and claim superiority on the basis of race and on the basis of the color of one's skin. The overriding point that I would like to make is that whenever human beings have used and tried to classify people under false merits and distinctions, it has always resulted in jealousy, strife, and hatred. And we have had, due to this, to contend with a history which is riddled with conflict, dispute, and tensions. As Muslims, we find our cue in everything in our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We find that even in the time of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this class and racial discrimination was prevalent. And the Arabs of that time prided themselves on the fact that they belonged to a particular clan and tribe. And they looked down upon others. Especially they looked down upon the people from Abyssinia, the people who were black. They looked down upon them. They regarded themselves as people who were much more superior because they came from Bani Hashim, or they came from the Quraysh, or they came from this particular clan. This we find many a times. Let us look. Islam, which has taught us, which is a universal religion, which has taught mankind how to coexist together with peace and harmony, has also addressed this age-old and burning issues, and thus has freed us from the shackles of racial and class discrimination. Let us look at one two incidents in the time of our beloved Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Who amongst us here today is not acquainted with the personality of Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu? No one is. Everyone is acquainted with him. When Makkah was conquered, and the triumphant occasion of the Muslims, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam told and commanded and instructed Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu to climb on top of the Kaaba and to give the azan. This was such a distinction and such a merit that till the day of Qiyamah, no one will ever be accorded such a distinction that he will be allowed to climb on top of the Kaaba and call out the azan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the means of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, granting Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu this tremendous merit and distinction, was a very great slap on the face of the Quraysh. It was a very great slap on the face of the Quraysh, in whom the fire of racial discrimination burnt very fiercely. Here was a person who was a former slave. He was an Abyssinian. He was a black. And Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accorded him this tremendous distinction. It was like a slap in the face of the Quraysh. And many of them, as history has narrated, has recorded, one of them commented that, "I thank Allah that my father had passed away before this day. He did not live to see such a disgraceful day." One of them, Harith bin Hisham, commented and said, "Did Muhammad aliyadu billah not find anyone else beside this black crowd to give azan?" This was the word that we're used. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not allow such sentiments to go unchallenged. And such was the divine rejection of such ignorance that Allah ta'ala revealed the ayat. "Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, inna khalaqnakum min dhakari wa untha. We have created you from one male and female. Waja'alnakum shu'uba wa qaba'il. And we have differentiated you into various races and clans and tribes. Lita'arafu, for mutual recognition, not for racial pride and racial discrimination. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The most honored and the most prestigious amongst you are those who are pious, who are God-fearing." That is the only basis of superiority. No other false distinction and false criterion for superiority. Imam Tirmidhi and Imam Baghawi rahmatullah alayhi has narrated in their books and in their collections of hadith, after making tawaf on the occasion of Fatah Makkah, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed the sahaba and said, "Allah ta'ala on this day has abolished all forms of race and class discrimination. And Allah ta'ala has now divided people only into two categories and classes." And I want you to remember this, because I'm going to refer to it back again. Two classes and categories of people. One who is good and who is pious. One who is good and pious, he will find respect and honor by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one who is disobedient and he is a sinner, he has debased himself, and he is valueless in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the only two classes and categories of people. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after making mention to this, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then went on to even to recite the very same ayat which I have just recited to you before now. Then we find on the occasion of the farewell Hajj, the farewell sermon on the plains of Arafah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam echoed these very same sentiments and even went on to further go and say that no Arab has superiority over non-Arab. No white person has superiority over a black person and vice versa. Only on one basis they can claim superiority, on the basis of taqwa and piety. The whole content of that farewell sermon finds itself adorned in many a foyer and in many a lounges. Whether it is affected our hearts, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Then furthermore, to make mention of this further, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْزُرُ إِلَىٰ سُوَرِكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ. Allah does not look at your appearance, whether you are blue-eyed or whether you are blonde. Allah does not look at your wealth, whether you are a pauper or whether you are a billionaire. But Allah looks at your heart. How much love for Allah does it have? And does your actions are in accordance with that love that you have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once saw Hazrat Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was rebuking the son of one of his slaves and he called him, oh son of a black slave. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rebuked him and told him these words. And think over these words. Oh Abu Zar, you are a person in whom the remnants of ignorance is still not out of your heart. You still got ignorance in you that you are talking in such manners. Then Abu Zar became one of the foremost persons was always worried about the equality of people. When we look at our South African scenario, now I'm going to make mention with regard to certain things which some people might regard as contentious, but I think we need to be frank and we need to address these issues. When we come back to our South African scenario, we find that 45 years of apartheid rule has also created a very wrong outlook in the minds of many people. That system and these attitudes of oppression, injustice, and deceit, and this deceitfulness, and this injustice has also found a way in the minds of many Muslims. And today, we find many of Muslims and many Muslims going along with this false and shameful notion that a person who has a particular color of skin, a person who is a black person, he is regarded as somewhat inferior and somewhat incompetent. This false and shameless notion which I'm talking about. It has also ingrained itself in the minds of many Muslims today. We have been so brainwashed with this particular thing that due to this, by and large, Muslims have instinctively drawn themselves away and distance themselves away from the indigenous people of this land. We find this, it is a very clear and open fact. Now I know, knowing that how people speak and being in the gatherings of many a people, what is the question that is going to be in the minds of many a people? The question in the minds of many is this, Mawlana, what you are saying is very true. In theory it is very noble. But what we find practically is this, the people of a particular color of their skin, they are in the forefront of many evil things, or they in the forefront of many things which are not noble, for example theft, murder, brutality, etc., etc. My reply to this is this, that keeping in mind what our beloved Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi said, there are two classes and categories of people, those who are good and those who are evil. If a person commits evil, no matter and irrespective of the color of his skin, if he commits evil, it is confined to that individual. And it is that individual who has been influenced by evil. It is not the color of his skin that is evil. Because if we say that it is the color of his skin that is evil, then we are attributing evil to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has created the color of his skin. And how on this basis can we generalize the one person commits a wrong in a particular community, society, race, group? How can we generalize and paint everyone with that same brush? Let me give an example. In our so-called traditional Muslims, I'm using this word so-called very deliberately, very, very deliberately, because there is no so-called traditional Muslims. Muslims and Islam is a universal religion. It is for all types of people, all classes and colors of people till the day of Qiyamah. But this traditional Muslim so-called, for us to maybe understand, maybe perhaps better, so-called traditional Muslim community here in this country, which unfortunately I feel have a very high percentage of holier-than-thou attitude. In this community, traditional, so-called traditional Muslim, I'm again saying it so-called, just for us to understand. There is no dearth of people who are blot on the Muslim name. There are no dearth of people who are blot on the Muslim name due to their conduct and especially their hypocrisy and deceitfulness in the marketplaces. One story we hear today about Muslim business people doing other people down, acting deceitfully, Al-Aman wal-Hafiz. Allah Ta'ala protect us. It is frightening. It is a blot on the Muslim name. Now, due to this, would the so-called traditional Muslim community like that because of those few people, or even maybe they might be increasing, each and every Muslim be painted with that same brush that you are all deceitful people? Would we like it? And how we Muslims justly complain, and we justly complain with regard to the media, that we justly complain with regard to the media, that when any other person commits an evil, it is usually attributed to his own individual self. But when a Muslim does and commits an evil, then it is Islam and Muslims that are targeted. It is a Muslim name that is targeted. That all Muslims and Islam is like that. We justly complain with regard to the media, yet we go and do the very same thing. We go and brush the people with the same brush because a certain person or a certain race group or a certain person has committed a particular act of evil. We say everyone is the same, Aliyadu Billah. And how can we generalize when amongst that particular race group we find people like Hazrat Bilal? Brothers, do you know who was Hazrat Bilal? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam once told him, "Oh Bilal, what is an action of yours because of which your footsteps are heard in Jannah? The angel hear your footsteps while you are walking in this earth. The angels hear your footsteps in Jannah." And Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu said, "Oh Prophet of Allah, I don't do much, but I have one noble habit. And that is, I never remain without wuzu. Whenever my wuzu breaks, I immediately make a fresh wuzu. And every time I make a fresh wuzu, I recite two rakats of Nafil Salat." Nabi Sa'asim said, "Oh Bilal, this action of yours might be simple, but it has given you such a great rank that your footsteps are heard in Jannah." Brothers, coming back again to our point, we are now faced with a situation in our country where we find that there is going to be greater communication and greater interaction between people of other groups. We and our children in the schools are going to be faced with problems that they are going to be, and they are going to interact with people of different races and people of different color. Now, many people are apprehensive of this, and perhaps it is natural to be apprehensive if such a major change occurs overnight. It is natural to be apprehensive. But we must look at the positive aspects. We must rid ourselves of racial prejudice and biasness. And we must regard this as an opportunity previously denied to us. And we must inject our own RDP. Everyone knows about the RDP, the government RDP. They make a lot of noise about it. Whether it will reach fruition, whether it will be achieved successfully, is a matter of debate. What we read of from the newspaper, it leaves us a lot of doubts with regard to whether that RDP will ever reach successful and be successful. But our RDP is a spiritual RDP, and it is guaranteed delivery. Guaranteed delivery. Why is it guaranteed delivery? A sincere and devout Muslim will always have self-esteem. He will always acquire and try to acquire dignity. He will always try to achieve self-sufficiency, and he will be contented with his lot. He will not look at others who might have more than him and perhaps have more than him in any negative manner. And unlike the materialistic RDP, our spiritual RDP as Muslims, where dawah is supposed to be our responsibility and supposed to be our lifeblood, our RDP can guarantee what the materialistic and government RDP cannot guarantee. And that is salvation in the hereafter. But for this to happen, respected brothers, that what Islam talks about, equality and justice, which is enshrined in Islam, we must show it practically. We must show it practically, and then only we can hope to draw people towards Islam. And this practical demonstration of the Islamic equality and justice, which is enshrined in our teachings, more than empty words, will be that magnetic force which will draw people towards the irresistible truth, which is Al-Islam. For that to happen, we have to change many of our attitudes, which I have made mention today. May Allah Ta'ala give you the tawfiq of understanding and make an amal. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.